Excited to be here. Coming off a little rest and relaxation myself, some friends and I and our 8 adults and 10 kids went to Leeds, South Dakota this last week, so that was a good time to get away. Survived a mini apocalypse, a.k.a. golf ball size hail. If you've ever not been through that, that was something very unique, and so a little prelude, I think, to the apocalypse coming. But blessed to get away. And really, I love the opportunity to get up and share what God's doing in my life, where I'm at in my faith walk, because that's the commonality we all have. We know there's no easy path forward in life, but those of us who open our hearts, open our minds to God and allows him to speak in, we all have that same commonality. And so today I want to share with you living in faith, living in faith. Now, this word, I always say it's not funny because we know how God works. He's very intentional. And about 3 or 4 months ago, he really placed this on my heart of challenging me to grow to another level. And sometimes when you ask for another level, there's things that come along with that, right? But as always, I'm just a conduit for the kingdom. I am nothing by myself, but with Christ and God, I am everything. So I want to invite him in through prayer real quick before we start. So bow your heads with me if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for every person, every heart, every soul that is here today. I pray that no matter what we're going through in life, whether it's outside of church, after church, this week coming up, the week past, you give us the peace and comfort in this moment of hearing what you have in store for us, that we clear our minds, clear our hearts, to receive in full this moment. We thank you that we have victory no matter what it is we're going through, that we have victory through what your son Jesus Christ did for us. So in this moment, we go all in, open our minds and our hearts to receive, that we plant good, fertile seed into the soil and have a blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to ask a question as we talk about living in faith, and please, I want an honest answer. So show of hands if you feel like up until this point in your life, more is possible. You think more is possible than you're living right now? Almost everybody, right? Hopefully everybody. Second question. Who in here, show of hands, who in here desires access to that more? Hopefully everybody, right? And that was the premise that I was really challenged with. I think last time I preached, I shared kind of this process that I had developed for my business called The Author of My Life. And through that process, I had a lot of very deep self-discovery, right? If you take time to really get intimate who you are, get intimate who God is, and allow him to open your eyes, he reveals some things, oftentimes things that we don't want to see, right? But that are very necessary to get to that level. What does it take to get from the eighth grade to the ninth grade? What do you have to go through to graduate from eighth to ninth grade? Classes, what else? Test, right? Candy, if you don't pass the final test, do you move on? If your grades aren't where they're supposed to be, do you move on? Right? So you can take any grade, and we know that very clearly about school, that to get to that next level, you have to go through a series of tests, right? What does it take to do well on a test? You got to study. You got to pay attention, right? I heard a pastor on TV some years ago, and he had said something that was extremely profound to me, and it has sat with me ever since. He said, the teacher doesn't talk when you're taking the test. So think about that for a moment, right? When you're in school and you're taking the test, now is not the time to raise your hand and ask, you know, I didn't get those notes. I don't get that moment. When we go through tests in life and you go through those moments, we have our study guides, right? We have our study guide that we have access to all the time. We can come to class every week, 10:30, right? You can come get knowledge. You can come get preparation. You can come get ready for those tests. But when you're going through the test, how often do we find ourselves asking God, where are you? Or what is it you're trying to teach me? He said, I've prepared you. I've given you the notes. I've given you everything that you need to pass the test. But all of us who have gone through school, we've all been in those moments where you didn't quite study for that test, right? You find yourself sweaty, you know, armpits and everything, right? You find yourself in those moments because you didn't put the work in. And therefore, you're not going to pass the test. So when we talk about life and talk about going to those next levels and talk about getting to that next level where we desire to go, all of us saying we know more is capable, and we say we desire more, are we studying and preparing for those tests, right? So let me ask you this question before I get into the word today of living in faith. I want to ask you, what kind of soil did you bring with you today? What kind of soil did you bring with you today? Jesus gave us these four types of soil, right? The first type of soil was the one where the seed just got thrown on the path, right? It just got thrown on the ground and nothing has been done to it. Any gardeners in the room? Anyone garden? A few people garden? How well does it work if you take, I don't care how good the soil is, I don't care how good the seed is, if you just go out and throw it on the ground, how's that going to work out for you? Not very, right? Jesus told us, if we do nothing with the seed, and this I equate to, if you just come to church or just hear the word and do nothing with it to cultivate it into your soil, can you expect fruit from it? No, it's throwing seed on the surface, and if nothing is done with it, ta-da, no fruit, right? The second soil, he said, was the rocky soil, right? Who in here grew up on a farm? Anyone grew up on a farm? A few folks around here. When you were a teenager, pretty notorious when you're teenagers, what'd you do in the springtime or summer? What'd you have to do out in the fields? Pick rocks, right? Free labor. Or cheap labor. Pick rocks. Why? Because we have to remove those in order for the soil to produce the result that we want. We know those things are going to prohibit or hinder us from getting the fruit that we desire, right? And these rocks in our lives are bitterness, anger, resentment. So when you really go deep and you look at yourself and say, is there any area of my life that I'm holding on to, a grudge, anger, resentment towards any part of your life? If we can say yes to any of that, we cannot produce the fruit on the level that we're capable of with those rocks in our soil. So we have to remove those things. The third type of soil that he gave us, right, was the seed that grew up. At first, it received it with joy, but it was choked out by the weeds and the thorns. And in my opinion, this is where the majority of the world, and especially the majority of Christians, lies in this bucket. They receive the word every week in church. They sit here, hear a good word. Amen, that's good. That applies to my life. They're excited about it, but they're also allowing in the weeds. They're allowing in the thorns. What are we listening to? What are we watching? The world around us gives us access and abundance, especially today's day and age with cell phones and social media, where we have an abundance of things vying for our attention that is choking out the things that we say we want. I have one of my really good friends just called me a few weeks ago and was struggling. He was in this bucket and he said, I'm not a bad guy. He's not. But I don't understand why my life isn't resulting to what I want. He works hard, but I challenge him with this very thing. He sometimes listens to secular music and allows these different things. He sometimes allows alcohol into his life. Yes, he goes to church sporadically, but that's being choked out by all these other things. And so the fourth soil is one all of us should aspire to have, right? That soil that says, I've removed the bitterness, the anger, I've removed all the rocks from my soil. I'm very conscious, not that we have to go in a cave and be a monk, right? But again, I'm very conscious about what I'm allowing into my life so that there's the weeds and the thorns are cut down. I'm pulling those out so my fruit can produce what it's meant to be, right? So challenge yourself with that today. What kind of soil did you bring with you? So all that right there, as Pastor Charlie said, is for free. Never even get into the meat of the word. So I want to start with the foundational scripture. Hebrews 11:1 states, what is faith? Or asks, what is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that the things we hope for is going to happen. It is evidence of things not yet seen. I was looking up the definition of confidence, and one of the definitions of confidence was a firm trust. A firm trust. When you think about when you close your eyes and you envision who you're becoming, who is that person that you're becoming a year from today, do you have firm trust with who God said you are and who you're called to become? And when you have that faith or that trust, do you have confidence, and is that like evidence? And I love the fact that this version uses the word evidence, because you think about that in a courtroom setting. What happens when you submit evidence in a courtroom? Fact, right? This is evidence submitted, and everyone accepts it as fact. Is your faith that of, I believe matter-of-factly that these things that I believe, and I have a confident assurance of that, what that is what God has said is for my life, who I'm becoming? Do we have that level of faith? Do we have that level of firm trust in what God says about our life? Do we have expectations beyond our circumstances? Do we have expectations beyond our circumstances? I don't care what your circumstances are today. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what you've been through. When you, again, close your eyes and you look into the future, do you have faith of what God has said your future holds? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For we don't look at the troubles we see now, but look forward to the things not yet seen. For the troubles we see now will soon be over, but the joy to come will last forever." Someone define for me forever. Forever, right? I mean, pretty simple. When you think about that, are you looking beyond? I don't care what you're going through. Are you looking beyond these temporary circumstances? Because all of us in our wisdom in looking back at life and in those moments, our life was, oh my God, or my world's ending, right? And we look back like, I got through that, right? Proof positive that God will bring us through. But this isn't a reality for most because they're so consumed with what is in their hands, what is tangible, what is at their workplace, what is where their marriage is at today, the problems they have in their with their children or their finances. They're so consumed with that that it prevents them from moving to that next level. And I want to challenge you with this thought. Don't just take my word for it. We all know it in general. But take this week. Take this week and listen. Listen to the dialogue your spouse, your children, your coworkers, your friends, your family. Listen to the dialogue. And do you hear a lot of hope and faith? Oh, yeah. Low expectations, right? I was laughing about this, really, in South Dakota. You almost feel like we only get like 20 good days of weather a year if you listen to the dialogue, right? Even it's 75 degrees, it's supposed to be summer, right? Or it's too hot, it's too cold. Like there's very few days where it's like, that's perfect, right? And again, these are the things that it's funny and it's silly, but it's the truth. It reveals something more about our expectations. I say this almost every time I'm up here, but what's the number one answer you're going to hit here tomorrow when you ask someone how they're doing? Busy or it's Monday. What's their expectation of that week? And then week after that, and it continues and it continues and continues. When we talk about getting to that next level, right, we talk about living in faith because, again, to live in faith, all of us have a different box, a different size of faith that we're living in. And to get to that next level, we have to challenge our definition and association with this almost four-letter word called failure. Right? Failure to most is so scary that it keeps them on the sidelines, it keeps them on the bench. James 1:2-4 says, it tells us very clearly, whenever, not if, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity. Everyone say opportunity. Opportunity for joy. For when your faith, not if, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your faith is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Failure is an opportunity to grow. A little baby who's learning to walk fails over and over and over and over again, but he keeps after it, and he gets it. Once he gets it, he got it, right? So many of us run from failure and run from these character-building moments that are preparation for what's ahead. These are preparation moments in our character to prepare us for what God has called us to do, to be, who we say we want to be. If I were to ask you, ideally, where do you want to be 5 years from now? Every single person sitting in here has to grow in their character in order to have the foundation to handle what they're asking for 5 years from now. So you cannot run from failure. Here's the question. Are you being molded to become, or are you stuck in a mold? Are you being molded? Are you allowing the potter maker, right? Are you allowing God to mold you to become what is in your future? Or are you stuck in a mold based off of your past, your experience, your upbringing, the limitations of those around you? And I challenge you to really think about that. Am I being molded to become or stuck in a mold? Let's take two examples. Let's take Joseph. This young man, full of vigor, energy, excited, had a bright, shiny coat, was getting these great dreams, and was excited. That young man was not prepared or equipped to be second in command of the land. Was not. So what did he have to go through? Thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, started to climb out, started to be blessed, accused of rape, thrown in jail, felt like he was getting out, had an end to get out, found himself in there longer. And then through all of that time, he was then prepared to be the second person in command next to Pharaoh. That young man, whatever his age was not prepared. And we brush by this in our Bibles. We brush by this. We don't realize the character-defining things that were happening. I've seen estimates somewhere between 11 and 13 years in prison for something you didn't do. Imagine as a man or a woman what had been going through your mind, what kind of things you had been thinking about, what kind of character. Most people would have gave up. This must be God's will and just gave up. Let's take a modern-day example. One of the greatest leaders, almost every nation will agree, this is one of the greatest leaders we've seen, Nelson Mandela. This was a man, young Nelson Mandela was not equipped on the level to lead South Africa out of the oppression they were dealing with. It would have been more bloodshed. It would have been a lot worse. 27 years. I was talking to my business partner. We were talking about this. And I said, how many different versions of himself do you think he went through? He said, probably 27. Every year that goes by, you're still in this jail cell. I did nothing wrong other than try to get my freedom for my people. Fairness is all I'm asking for. And you find yourself 27 years. None of us can fathom what that was. But he allowed it to make him better. He allowed his character to be developed. Right? I asked myself this question. How come, why was it that Jesus didn't start his ministry till 30? Right? We don't have any scripture or text on this. But again, as I've grown older, right? Why wasn't he doing miracles for 12 years? Right? None of us truly know that answer, but again, I imagine there was character building things that he had to grow to prepare for when the time was right. The time was right. And so many of us want to fast forward. We want that thing now, but what are we being molded for? And then there's a challenge to this, right? We have to be careful what we ask for because it's going to require new muscles to get there, right? None of us are can lie to ourselves. If we want to have, you know, the right body or be in shape, we know it's going to require sacrifice, diet, sore muscles, right? It's going to require, but we don't hate the weights. You know what they're doing. It's for your good. But yet in life, when we go through these circumstances, we often run from these things because it's scary. And I think most people are running from or living a limited life because they don't want the work that comes with the transformation. So we ask ourselves, who do you want to be? Who has God called you to become? What transformation is it going to require? Yes, the unknown is scary. But I would challenge you with this. Go to a nursing home and ask them what their greatest regrets were. 80%+ are going to be the shots they didn't take. Right? We know when we don't take action, we can look back and say, I should have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have spent more time with. I wish I would have made a difference. It's unknown. But most of us sit on the sideline because we're scared of failure. And please let me know if you found a golden key. Is not trying, does that lead to not failing? Right? Maybe less, but most people that we have, almost every single person that we admire, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whether it's just a great character, if you look at their life, you would see they embraced failure and they went through it and they grew through it. And I think when you talk about faith, the Bible tells us, faith is meant to be simplistic, right? Genesis 15:6 says, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Simple, right? He believed, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. We have complicated this because we've allowed so many fears, so many things in access, and what is fear, right? Other than false evidence appearing real. These things that we're afraid of, it's not a reality. It's only a reality based off our perception. We've allowed these things in. It's why God has called us to have childlike faith. Right? All of us with children know when your children, when they're young, they don't question. My little girls, they don't question dad because I've never given them reason to doubt me. And they just trust. I say it, they trust. Right? God has called us in that same manner. His word says it. Trust. Have faith in him. And here's the challenge that we're facing. With social media and TV, in our society, we celebrate the champion. We celebrate the Academy Awards. We celebrate the end result, the last 1%, when they're standing on stage with their trophy. We celebrate that, but we don't celebrate the process. I seen a video recently of Will Smith, and he was talking about, he ran into some guy, and the guy's like, hey, Will, I want to be just like you. No, you don't. I get up at 4 o'clock every day, right? Oh, man, every day? Right? We celebrate, we want the victory, we want the championship, but we don't want the work that goes with it. And that's the part that as Christians, and this is the part that all of us have a part to play. I don't care where you are at in your walk. We all have somebody within our sphere of influence. I know Pastor Charlie talked a few weeks ago about your 12, right? You think about the people that you have direct influence over in your life. We all have multiple people that our story up until this point, none of us are perfect. But our story can be a witness to somebody. Somebody needs to hear why you're struggling through it. Not just, I've made it. I'm going through it. This is why I love getting up here sharing. I haven't made it, but I love opening my heart and my life to say, this is where I'm at. This is what God's been speaking to me. Knowing that a few people may grab onto a few nuggets and say, man, I can maybe use some of that. So my question is this. What promises have been spoken to you that you haven't acted upon? What promises have been spoken to you that you have not acted upon? And why have you stopped believing them? So when you talk about what size faith do you have and are you living in it, I can be honest and trace back the stop gaps in my life. I'm not where I should be. I don't beat myself up over it, but I know I'm capable of more. And I can go back and say the core reason why I'm not where I should be is me. I got in my way. I didn't believe. I had weeds or rocks in my soil. Those are all things I can choose to remove today. Am I going to be perfect at it? No. But should I stop aspiring for it? Absolutely not. I was reading an article recently, and it shared something very interesting that said, they say only about 5% of your memories are accurate. And I was taken aback by that, but you think about that, right? How much in that moment, because we take our memories as fact. Like, I was there, I lived it, so it's fact. But you think about all the circumstances that went into that time and place of that memory, all the circumstances, the people that were around you, the false beliefs at the time or moment, right? Think about superstitions. A lot of superstitions, where do they come from? Someone just believed it and took it as fact and never challenged it, right? We live in a society where we're in such a hurry to want to manifest, and we want it now. We want it yesterday. We're in such a hurry to see it manifest that we lose faith when it doesn't happen. We're entering 21 days of prayer and fasting. I partake in this, and I've seen a lot of great things happen. And I've been challenged with this is, nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, if it doesn't happen in 21 days, I guess it's not meant to happen. Right? He said, keep asking, you'll be given what you ask for. Keep looking and you will find. I can be honest, there's been things this last, I had a couple great things happen to me when we did prayer and fasting back in January. I had a list of about probably 8 to 10 things, and about 3 of them happened. I mean, things I was specifically asking for, and I seen God bring it to fruition. I'll be honest, I stopped praying over these things at that same intensity. He didn't say 21 days. Now, again, there's power in prayer. There's power in incorporating prayer over these different things. Absolutely powerful. But the things that didn't happen in that 21 days, keep asking. Keep believing. Keep believing more is possible. Now, I know this probably in society today, this probably isn't going to go over very well. In a day and age of participation trophies, right, where you get a medal just for existing or just for playing. Rub me the wrong way. My daughter's got the whole hanger full of participation trophies. And we are setting our children up for so many bad things because of this. Like when you go out and work, as you all know, work doesn't care that you just showed up, right? The more. And I was really challenged with this to say, who do we think we are that we're so special that we don't have to go through it as well to get to the prize? He gave us example after example. Joseph, David, right? Moses, he gave us example after example of people that had to endure through in order to get that thing that he called them to. Years, years. And yet it doesn't happen for us in a few months. We're like, guess it's not meant to be. That was something I had to get very honest with to say, do I have faith to keep asking? Faith that says, not if, but when. Do you have faith enough and vision enough for your marriage to pray and believe through it for 10 years? I don't care where it's at, to say for 10 years, I'm willing to go after this and live out what God has called me to be. To keep asking, keep believing. Failure, when appropriately embraced, gives us the right amount of reflection, increased self-awareness. Most people, and I say most because in distant, I've really been challenged to look at what are these things that hold us back. Most don't take advantage of the opportunities that they can learn from in these moments of failure. And a failure is only a failure if we stay there. Right? We should see it as growth. We should embrace it. Embrace the process. Embrace our future self mentality. When you think about who you want to become, who you see yourself and envision yourself to be 3-5 years from now, can you really embrace that? Now, Romans 12:2 has been one of these foundational scriptures in these last 3 months that has been just tremendous in my life because it has unlocked something different in me. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Now, when you stop there and you look around and look at our society, look at our school system, look at everything around us, are we conforming to the world? Evidence is everywhere. We're conforming to what the world says is acceptable, what marriage is supposed to be. We simply accept and conform to these things. He tells us very clearly, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, what is that next version of yourself that you're aspiring to become? Are you transforming yourself to become? And to renew your mind, you have to expose yourself to new information, to grow, to ask God in, to show me where he's leading you. Right? When you do those things, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I love he uses the words in here, test and approve. I think about this in science class, right? When a bunch of us have a hypothesis, how do you find out who's right? Test it out, right? Every single one of us here has our own opinion of who God is, what the Christian walk looks like. We all have our own opinion on these different things. I say all the time, I don't care what you believe, show me. If what you believe, and this is the fruit of that, show me. I have someone I love very dearly, and I said to this person multiple times, and I asked the question, this should be all of our, as Christians and trying to live out our walk, this should be our aspiration. And I said, at what point does my life become more evidence of the truth than what you believe? Prove it. If this doesn't work, prove it. Show me the person who lives by the Bible as closely as it's supposed to be, and I will show you the most blessed person that you've ever seen in your life. None of us are perfect at it, but show me that person who is walking that path, and I will show you someone who is blessed beyond anybody you know. And that should be our aspiration as Christians, to show, because that's what the world is desperate for. Real life, tangible examples of what this Christian walk looks like. God is real. He's powerful. But most of us aren't tapping into that power because of a multitude of reasons. So if we strip all that away and say, show me. Test out what you believe. Step into it fully and watch God go to work. And I say this, so I was just reflecting on that. I first started coming to church, gave my life to Christ at 19, so 20 years ago, and I really reflected back as I was preparing for this message and realized in the last 20 years, my life has incrementally been blessed, right? Those who have known me, especially those who knew me at 19, I wasn't a horrible guy, but I wasn't a great guy. Let's put it that way, to put it lightly. But God got a hold of me, and over the last 20 years, I've been faithful. The first few years a little rough. Then I met this great gentleman over here, Tim, introduced me to Harvest Church, was reading the Bible for myself and coming to a spirit-filled church was the two greatest things that kept me on this incline. And my life has been blessed. And as I stand in front of you today, I'm excited to get in front of you. I can already foresee it over the next year because I've discovered in this walk in faith, and God has put something different in me to show you how I've gone from this to even higher. Because I'm tapping into, I'm getting out of my own way, if you would. Getting out of my own way of my false beliefs, and I'm going back to what this says. I believe it. Have faith and step into what he has called us to believe and to say. So I challenge you that because, again, we are the greatest witness to those around us. And challenge yourselves as well to refuse to pick up the world's limitations and its lies. Refuse. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will direct your path. Our own understanding is flawed. We're human. The things that we believe, every single person's belief was influenced by certain levels of fallacy. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and he will direct your path. So I want to challenge you as you open yourself up and ask yourself, what kind of soil do I have today? This message actually was birthed out of me being open to the word. I remember it very vividly. I was sitting in the back corner over here, and Pastor was sharing a message on faith, I think it was. But it hit me of what faith, kind of an analogy of what faith is. Faith is that stake in the ground into our future that we're tethered to. So when you think about that, what is that state composed of for you? Is it God? Is it solid on what God has called for you? Or is it based off of limited belief? How deeply is that stake hammered into the ground? Is it tethered so strongly that you believe it's going to pull you forward to the future that you can see for yourself that God has called for you? Are you holding on to it daily? or just reaching for it when you're falling? And are we settling for imitations of our desired outcome? Imitations that the enemy will he knows us oftentimes better than we know ourselves, right? He's going to put up these false things in your path that feel right. It feels like the right thing to do. I was just talking to my good friend over here before church, and we were just talking about those in our lives that out of a good heart, when you desire to help people, right, always isn't always the time to help that person, right? If that person is going to do more harm to you than good, you know, when you're on an airplane and the oxygen drops, what's the first thing to tell you to do? Put your mask on first. If you're not the best version of you, sometimes you can't help somebody else and they'll pull you down into those things. And so in the absence of faith, many people are standing on the cliff of life. So think about life as you're climbing this cliff and we're uncertain about what's ahead. And so out of fear, we stay where we are. We can still look back and we dwell on the past and we look at those failures we made, the regret, all the things we wish we would have done. And we miss the opportunity of the past being something of being proof positive that we will make it through. The fact that you're sitting here today is proof positive that God will bring you through. You're here, you're alive, you're well. The journey's not easy. It's not. We know that very clearly. Your hands may hurt, pulling up, your muscles are going to ache. But when you're confident and it's rooted in God's word, it will never fail you and never leave you. So I want to leave you with this. As I was thinking about this, and I talked about living in faith, and this has been one of the most, one of the best things that in the last 3 months that God has really revealed to me. Nothing, again, God talks to us in simplicity, right? I heard a gentleman by the name of Ed Milet, very successful businessman, Christian, and he had said something on a show he was doing. He said, "I'm in a constant crisis to become the next version of myself." Think about that for a second. Constant means always. Crisis, I love the fact that he used that word. We live in a world where, again, complacency is rampant, right? It's easy to just like, oh, we're okay, because we live in a society where, again, none of us are starving. No, it's not that bad, right? But crisis, what happens when you're in crisis? Whatever's necessary, right? Your body reacts differently when you're in a crisis. I'm in a constant crisis to become the next version of myself. Not somebody else, not the best, because the best suggests that you're going to reach a destination, but the next version of yourself. How many of us have what that next version of ourselves is, right? Those of us who have children, if you have a 12-year-old and he's acting like he's 6, what do you say to him? Grow up. You're 12 years old. Act like you're 12 because we expect more. And when this got a hold of me and I got thinking about that, I just turned 39 back in May. And I'm like, who is that next version of me? And I started giving that version definition. Who is that 40-year-old Tamian? And people all the time, you know, again, say, oh, you work hard, and they admire a lot of the things that I do. And I'm like, I always downplay it because I'm just me, right? I'm a man who just opened myself up to allow God to use me. But I'm like, wait till you think this is cool. Wait till you see him. Wait till you see that next guy. Wait till you hear the message that guy preaches, right? Are you in a constant crisis to be the next version of yourself? And God didn't call any of us to just to fit in, just to be stuck in a mold, right? So 4 things to think about. Engaging in faith into a fruitful future, right? When you want to engage your faith and live in faith to a fruitful future, there's 4 parts to this. Number 1, your mind is the garden. You have to treat it as such. Your mind is the garden. Your thoughts are seeds. Good or bad. So if you allow in negative thoughts, I can't, I won't, you won't. If you tap into who God says he is, he said, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you believe and you speak, I am, you're speaking life. You're speaking seeds into your future. Our actions and our words is the fertilizer. What happens when you put fertilizer over weeds? They grow too, right? So I don't care which side of that is, if it's good or bad, it's going to grow. What's more powerful, your words or your thoughts? Thoughts, words. People often say thoughts because it's constant. Your thoughts are always going. Quick challenge. Everyone real quick with me, do it. Everyone count to 20 in their head. Now say your name out loud right now. Did you keep counting? No. When you speak, why he told us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you speak, you can go back and change your thoughts. Speak life. Speak life. Thoughts are constant, so it's important that we pay attention to what our thoughts are. But again, our words and actions bring confirmation and fertilizer to those things. Now, this fourth part, this is where these last 3 months for me has, I'm beyond excited of what this future has for my life and those around me. I heard someone talk about faith, belief, and emotion. That's the sun that grows it, right? To what level do you really believe? Do you have faith? If I blindfolded you right now, and I took you over, let's say, across the street to George Boone Funeral Home, and there was a funeral going on, and you couldn't see or hear anything, do you think you could feel? Is there energy about that? You ever walked into an extremely positive room? Energy. When you really believe, when you say, I have faith to believe, and you believe in faith, I was reading that there was an article recently that showed, we've all heard about the placebo effect. There was these 10 gentlemen coming home from war. They all needed to have knee surgery. Five had the surgery, and with the permission of the family, the other five, they didn't do any surgery to them and just made 3 incisions on their knee like they had surgery. But they believed that they had the surgery. 6 months later, all 10 healed. Look, I mean, but the level of what you believe, the energy of what you believe, God inside you of what you believe matters. And that's for so many, and for my life, again, I was blessed. I took care of my garden. I had the right thoughts. I had the words, but I was missing that belief. Did I really believe what I say I believe? That's energy. When you put that on it, when you believe and God has said that's in you, that's where you're going to see a different level of fruit in your life. So, just to leave you with this, keep tabs over your garden. Tabs, T-A-B, thoughts, actions, belief. Keep tabs over your garden because it matters. So as we go forth and we look about those around us in life, and you want to make a difference, we all said we know more is possible, and we all say, I desire more. Grow your faith. Make a difference in those lives of other people. Remove the rocks, remove the weeds, and step forward into your God-destined purpose. Amen? All right. Thank you, church.